Okay, why don't we go ahead and find our seat? I got a little bit ahead of myself. We should have had some announcements before I let the kids go. So.
It's May. Woo! That hit me this morning. I'm like, woohoo! We're into summer. We made it through winter. A new season in a lot of ways. So one thing coming up May 17th is Mamas of Hope. It's here in the auditorium, 6 p.m. So invite all mamas to join us May 17th. Also, if you do require childcare for that night, please notify either Annie or you can contact the office in advance, please, and we will find childcare for you. We don't want that to be a reason why you're not able to come. So let us know in advance, and we'll get that taken care of for you. May 17th, okay? And you guys hiding down there, they have something special for you.
Well, welcome, House. Our announcement was up on the board, so if you saw it, once again, it is summertime, and thank you, guys. I learned on the announcement form, it actually says on there, give a week notice. So I'm going to let all of you know, because I gave it to them on Friday, and they made it happen. But to honor, that is why we have that, to give notice, because our sound team is incredible, and they make it happen. But with that, I say, as soon as you can, if you have an announcement, give them the notice. So once again, it is that time of year, and we are growing flowers and baskets. We had a few last year, and a lot of you bought some at Mother's Day. If you would like to get any, we have flyers out in the thing. I have a greenhouse that is just jam-packed, and we had a heater this year, so we are steps ahead of last year thanks to Dakota. So once again, May had some of them last year, so I'm just having her say something. But a lot of combos, a lot of options. If you don't or you do flowers for your house, we just encourage you to consider us in your purchase.
I actually asked Wendell, like, Wendell, when you make the announcement to church, can I do it with you? Okay, so I bought a couple baskets last year from Wendell and Viola, and yes, they cost a little bit more than Costco. I usually get my hanging baskets from Costco, but every year, my Costco ones dry out by July. I water them every day. And these ones lasted until the first frost. You remember when we had that unexpected first frost last year? I was so sad. I ended up having to throw them out. But they were still in bloom. They still looked like this. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys, okay, yeah, it might cost a little bit more than Costco. I've been swept off my feet as well when I go there and I get too many. And but they died by the time August rolled around. And so these were fantastic. I'm even buying more this year. And so I just want to encourage you guys to support Wendell and Viola. I think it's worth it. My pot exploded. Who bought some last year?
So we had a lot of people have already reached out and gotten them. And I got last week, fun fact, I got to share with the youth last week. So when everyone was down in Cali, Friday night, I was thankful Steve messaged me at 5 p.m. because I was like, oh yeah, I better head to church. Anyways, side note, but I brought all the plants. Because how much can we learn from plants? We got to hang out with the kids, and they got to help transplant and pinch and cause them to double. So Giovanni told me he was doing all my work for me, although I was like, bro, you don't have a clue. There's a lot more work. But it was fun to get to see the youth involved with the plants as well. And so we love you guys. Anyways, I'm going to stop talking. Yes, we have an option. If you would like some, grab the flyer, text or call me. And I will bring them next week to church if you'd like them then. So I'll bring them in the trailer, and they'll be, and I'll give them to you after church. So thank you so much. Sure. So God has been so good to us. It's weird being in America. So if you don't know, my wife is Polish, and we actually met in Africa. We actually met on the mission field as missionaries. We came to Alaska, and I'm like, man, if I've got to be in Alaska, I want to do something I love, which is grow things. My dad was a third-generation potato farmer. And so recently, 2 weeks ago, we did get her green card, which is just amazing. We waited. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. talk about learning patience in the longevity with the Lord. We waited a long time, and all of a sudden one day we were there. So we have that, which is incredible. Which the first thing she said was, oh my gosh, I can fly now. I can leave the country. I'm like, thanks, baby. Yeah, that's true. We can fly. But she actually pulled the trigger this morning. Her mother is coming over to visit us this summer. So her mom will be here for a couple months with us from Poland, which is her first time ever being on a plane. But we live when God says go. We are like Joseph and Mary, where they would leave in the middle of the night. And we know that sometimes doesn't make sense, and it's hard because logistically, like, what do we do with all our stuff? I'm like, we leave it. But at the same time, now with a two-year-old, we do that with our daughter. And so I really believe, as a heart, we're missionaries. We don't know how long we'll be in Alaska. We have a heart for Asia. We have a heart for the whole world. We obviously have a huge heart for what's happening in Ukraine and Poland right now. And we're willing to go at any time. And so last winter, we were gone for 3 months. God said, go to Jackson, Mississippi. We were there. While we're here in the summertime, that's the blessing of the greenhouse. You can kind of shut down. Anyways, we go wherever God sends us. And we're very happy to be here, that we have a home and a place where we can be plugged in while we're here. And we love it here. So that's, I'm going to stop talking.
So, you know, I'm sure you've noticed that Zach and Sage have been gone for a little while. And, you know, they pour their heart into this body, and like all of us, they need a break, right? And so they're traveling around in Lower 48 right now. And the blessing I see is we've got a really deep bench. You're part of that deep bench, you know, and in this regard, we've got just great people that can pick up the slack when Zach isn't here. You know, Kim, she had an awesome word a couple weeks back. Awesome. Last week. Well, today we've got another. Maybe you didn't even realize how deep our bench can go. Matt Adams. Come on up. Yeah. Why don't you stand up and give him a... just a great round of applause here. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Let's just do that again for good measure. Cheer for me. All right. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate that. That was nice. As Jay said, I am not. I'm a fill-in. I am not lead pastor. I'm not on staff. I'm just good for nothing. So I don't get paid. Get it? Good for nothing. Okay. If it's going to be like this, we're gonna really struggle today. This is the best one I got. All right, we're going to be primarily in John 15 today. James doesn't have a 15. we got that up on the screen. Let's go ahead and throw that up on the screen and read this real quick. And then we'll pray. It's going to be in John. This is going to be a rough one. 15:1-8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken over you. Remember, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, such as branches that are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Father God, you are good beyond measure. You've given us so many opportunities to glorify you, Father. We just thank you and we praise you. We praise your Son who jumped on the cross before we were even thought of. And Father God died and suffered for our sins and rose again. Father, thank you for that resurrection. Thank you, Father, for the vine that you planted deeply, Father God. And thank you for the branches that each one of us serve as. And it's in Christ's name we pray. So at some point in my life, and tell me, you know, I'd like this to be somewhat interactive, but at some point in my life, I've often thought, golly, is the Lord cutting me today? Am I done? Or is the Lord pruning me today? I'm really hyper-focused on this at certain points. Cutting is for me, has been a picture of being separated from Jesus. Okay? And this goes a lot to what Kim spoke about and what Austin spoke about in thinking rightly in the Lord. Being a picture of separation from the Lord, where can I go from there? What is my opportunity to serve the Lord from there? If I think he's done with me, that's a pretty dangerous spot to be in my life. When I was younger, I had a real problem with wondering if Jesus was, if I was in Jesus' good graces today. If I did the right thing, if I said the right thing, if I helped the little old lady across the road in the correct way, and so on and so forth. I felt like there was a lot of things that I really had to do for Jesus to make sure that I was in those good graces. Am I speaking to anybody else here? I felt like oftentimes, for no reason at all, as I look back, that I was being maybe punished or scolded at the very least, but certainly pushed away to the outside of what his plan might have been for my life. And I got to be real honest with you, cutting, to me, in this excerpt especially, is one of those concepts in the Bible that immediately causes fear, or caused fear, rather. Now let me ask, is that our Father? Is he the Father of fear? No way. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He says fear cannot exist when there's love, and love cannot exist when there's fear. If our God is all about love, where is fear involved in that? Pruning's a little bit more fun to think about in my mind's eye. Pruning's more about maximizing your ability to carry fruits. Happens a little bit differently in that branches oftentimes are already producing some level of fruit, or they're right on the cusp of producing fruit. The larger the base of the branch, the more fruit that branch can hold. We've all been told one degree or another that we must be productive Christians. Hello, James 2, faith without works. I'm guessing that we've all felt some level of conviction by the church body to do something in our faith. And with that, needing to do something comes a level of condemnation. Think about that for a second. Are you ever going to live up to the standards that men put out there before you? Men being men and women, the church body. One of the interesting things about speaking up front is you become keenly aware of how hot the lights are, how dry your throat gets, how tiny your bladder is, let's just say that. And I'm constantly questioning, did I wear deodorant today? I contend, folks, that with that pressure that we felt by being motivated by the church, if you will, to do something, or feeling like we need to be motivated, or that we are motivated by the church to do something, or by the church body, or by the others out there, that we are buying into a pharisaical line of thinking that we need to shed, as particularly the Western church. Beware the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees, right? If we are trying to please men, women within the church, and our eyes are on our status as a good, so to speak, Christian is based on what everyone else thinks about us, we're never, ever, ever going to be walking with the Lord. We're going to be walking with somebody, but it's not going to be the Lord. I believe there's a more accurate way to understand this passage's reference to cutting. A vine typically will grow straight up, trying to get to the sunlight, right? Typically, in the natural, it's on the side of a house or a side of a tree. Did you know a vine, when it's full of branches, when it's to its maturity, it suffocates whatever it is attached to, whatever it is around. It completely engulfs it. Imagine, church, if we as the branches attached to the vine suffocate this world in the love of Jesus Christ. Think for a moment what that does. The strength of the entire plant does not come from its branches. It comes from the vine itself. The vine supports and grows those branches. The vine supplies nutrition to the branches. The fruit that is produced is created by the nutrients coming directly from the vine, which is coming where? Directly from the gardener. Who are the branches? Say, I am. That's right. If we could be separated from the vine in any way, shape, or form, would we still not carry the DNA of the vine as well? We'll come back to that in just a bit. But think about that for a moment. The Father's desire is for us to be fruitful. John 15:8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Each branch must be strong enough to carry huge clusters of fruit in relationship to the branch itself. I believe it's said that each cluster of grapes, if you will, is about a pound. The branch, itty-bitty compared to the grapes, but super-duper strong if the base is attached correctly. Folks, you were meant to carry so much bigger things than what you possibly realize. We come to church, we raise our hands, we talk about the movement of the Holy Spirit. That movement's in your feet. It's in your heart. It's in your very being. Pruning must occur to reach a point of perfect strength. If it doesn't, there'll be brokenness. Can fruit break us? If we're not ready to carry it. It's said that the Lord will not give us anything until we're ready to steward it. Until He knows that through His power in us, we can handle all things. That carries the stewardship. That includes the stewardship of the fruit. So verse 2 says again, cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. This could actually be translated, and I think Zach has actually went here several times. This could be translated as this. In the Greek, it is the word ahiro or something like that. Zach could just do it with a big old roll of the R or something like that. He's awesome. It actually means to lift up, or to prop up, to raise up. So it's not the definition we think of. Branches that look healthy but do not produce fruit are cut off. That's what we see in the word, right? In the Father's economy, they're actually lifted up or propped up, giving every single chance to produce possible. 1 Timothy 2:4, this is good and it pleases God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. If we have wrong thinking about the Lord and don't remember that He said all people, and we think that we can be cut off that easily, we have a very conflicted mind. We have a mind that is warring against itself. What does the Lord say about a house divided? It will fall. And certainly it's not going to produce fruit. He may prop up branches to position them differently. Maybe there's not enough sunlight. Maybe there's not enough moisture. Maybe there's too much moisture. Maybe there's too much wind, not enough wind. Either way, the branches move closer to an area that it can be productive. I believe, church, that we can spend so much time wondering if we're pruned or if we're being cut or where we stand in the Lord. I believe if we have our mindset on that, all we're doing is chasing our tail. We cease to be productive. We cease to be connected to the vine because we're too busy trying to gauge where we're at, not where the vine's at. I believe there's another area that we can kind of parallel this to. I've heard it over the last 25 years since I've been a Christian. You do ministry work. You do something that you know is of the Lord. You're positive it's of the Lord. And then all of a sudden, something comes in on the other side, and it really disrupts what's going on. It really makes you think, golly, you know, what's going on? Am I doing the right thing? And most folks will say, I'm being attacked by Satan. So I know I'm doing right in the Lord because I'm being attacked by Satan. Folks, wrong thinking. We do not need Satan to show us that we're doing the works of the Lord. He has nothing to do with the Lord. We don't need his confirmation whatsoever to know that we're connected to the vine. So we're thinking about being cut, right? Can the vine actually be cut in the Father's kingdom? Can the vine be cut from the Father? No, absolutely not. Likewise, the branches, if we're connected to the vine, can the branches be cut? And again, this is about right thinking. This is about right words, understanding what the Bible is talking about in this. Folks, God either desires that all people be saved, or he's short-tempered. He's not patient. He's not kind. And he's certainly not gentle. He's just ready to cut branches off. That's not our Father. That is not our Father. Your Father in heaven is not willing that any should perish. Matthew 18:14. The Father's desire is for you to step into his plan. Though he will not force you to do so, he will put you in a position to carry what he wants you to give, what he wants to give you. When he gives you something, he anticipates your stewardship. Your ability to steward, folks, is specifically related to your communion with the Holy Spirit and connection to the vine. Your ability to steward is specifically related to your communion with the Holy Spirit and your connection to the vine. So where's the Holy Spirit in all this, in this story, in this excerpt? It's with the branches, right? With the branches. The DNA of the gardener and the vine and the branches is all the same. The Holy Spirit will always be attached to the person of Jesus as sent by the Father in you. Say that again. The DNA of the gardener and the vine and the branches is all the same. The Holy Spirit will always be attached to the person of Jesus as sent by the Father in you. Quick review of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit in Genesis said, let's make man in our image. We are their likeness. John 15:26, I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, and he will testify about me. 16:13 through 13 and 14, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth, and he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Folks, we are the image. We are the image of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, both exterior and interior. So as it relates to wrong thinking, Do you think that the Father's desire is to cut off the commission of the Holy Spirit? No way. I'm pretty certain that the Holy Spirit's not an afterthought of the Lord. If there was intention to truly cut off a branch from a permanent standpoint, how could we possibly read John 3:17 with any confidence whatsoever? God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If the Son and the Father are one and Holy Spirit, we're under no condemnation in him. That's biblical as well. We're connected to the vine. We are a part. We are. Our DNA oozes Jesus. Our Father's the Father of second, third, fourth, eighth, tenth chances, right? 25th, 28th in my case. He's the Father of none should perish. Here's the point. The Father's desire is for us to know him, to be connected to him. And in that connection, the Father's desire is for us to bear fruit. Ken said this, I believe, a few weeks ago. Cutting is not about salvation. Not whatsoever. Why? It's about positioning. Salvation has already been handled. And this is talked about in this verse. So let me say that again. Cutting is not about salvation whatsoever. It's about positioning. Salvation has already been handled. John 15:3. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. What word was that? Forgiven. Son. Daughter. Spotless. Restored. Brother. Friend. One I'm willing to lay down my life for. I forgive you. I love you. One thing that will inevitably separate us, folks, we touched on this a second ago, is having a divided house within us. The Trinity is not divided. And when we are, the Lord would rather spew us out of his mouth. Revelation 3, Church of Laodicea. We must come to realize as the Western Church that the Lord's desire is for our completion. What he started in us was a good work. He will complete it, will he not? Our completion is about knowing our Father. So is God the God of perfection? Yeah. I think we can confidently say yes, right? When he created man, did he stop at just our looks? Nope. I mean, with some of you he did, but not me. No fruit. I like it. No fruit being thrown up here. Good, good, good. You'll remember next time. Bring the eggs and the fruit. He didn't just stop with our looks. He gave us desires. He gave us motivation. He gave us ambition. He gave us creativity. He gave us emotion. He gave us his likeness. What's his likeness? You ready for this? Galatians, I believe, 5, something or other. Let's try this again, Adams. 5:22. Joy, peace. This is his likeness. Goodness, gentleness, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. That is the Father's likeness. Those are fruits of the Spirit. Given we have the DNA of our Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit coursing through our very being, consider the commissioning of the Lord to be fruitful and multiply, right? Would God have said, be fruitful, if we were not capable of bearing his fruit, his perfect fruit, his essence? If you will. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the Father planted the vine from the very beginning of time. We all agree on that. Jesus was planted as the vine before we were even physically here on earth. He is the vine. The vine has branches that are extensions of him. They are extensions, folks, with a purpose, to bear fruit. We're not there to just look pretty, but we're there to carry his essence. John 15, 8 says this, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Apart from me, though, you can do nothing. So the Father, being the gardener, carefully works the ground in anticipation for a harvest. He doesn't do it because he's got nothing else to do. He does it for a purpose. He anticipates that harvest of fruit to feed others and glorify himself. So this weekend, yesterday I was watching my beautiful bride, who's not in the splash row, by the way. Sage sits there. Julia sat there. I'm going to get, like, smacked when I get home, aren't I? Yes, I am. Think about when you're putting up your garden. Wendell, you just go out there and you talk nice to your plants and go, "Good luck, guys." Well, besides that, if you see weeds in there, you're going to go, yeah, should be okay. Now you're out there tending the soil. You're out there strengthening the plants, moving them to the best possible sunlight, moving them to the best or the right amount of moisture, because too much moisture can kill them, right? Too much sunlight can kill them. It's really knowing the positioning of those plants. But your expectation is this, that plant is going to be fruitful. It's going to do exactly what it was designed to do, right? Anybody else have a garden? Raise your hand. This is okay, we got some gardeners. All right. I bet you none of you have a garden and go, "I'm just hoping for the best this year," and not touch it. Likewise, our Father has that same, very same initiative. He doesn't have a garden full of non-producers that he could care less about. He expects fruit because it's to his glory. Folks, we are created for his glory. We have no other reason to be here other than to glorify the Father. In our fruit, he eats his glory in our fruit. That fruit that we produce is his essence, is his likeness. It is his Son. He eats of his glory. He feasts on his glory. The Father's will is that we will have every opportunity to bear fruit. But that's not our first command. It's actually a byproduct of the highest command, which is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And, likewise, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The conditions that fruit of the Lord are grown in is love. Fruit is only in the natural able to grow in perfect conditions. Likewise, fruit of the Spirit is only able to grow in perfect conditions, perfect attachment to the vine, and perfect love. When you're attached to the vine, you do have perfect love. We need to stop second-guessing that, church. We have it. And the deeper our connection, the more we have love. Not the perfecter. It's not even a word, I don't think. I have to ask George Bush. That's a joke, by the way, that you have to be around millennials, you don't get it. And that's fine. It's okay. Just go back. He made up words back when he was the president. It was so awesome. Missed that man. fruit is only able to grow in perfect conditions. Our fruit of the Spirit, our fruit that we feed the Father with, is only able to grow in conditions of love. Folks, we don't supply the nourishment for this fruit, but we supply the external conditions. That fruit didn't grow because I fed it. That fruit grew because I was attached to the vine, and that vine was supplied plenty of nutrition by the Father. But the conditions that I let my fruit grow in, that's the most important. Can the fruit grow without love? Absolutely not. So is this fruit ours? Negative. Now I'm kind of departing from what we might have heard for the last 30 years, right? This fruit is not ours. Bearing fruit is a picture of carrying, not producing. When we read that verse, we look at it and go, okay, I got to go out and I got to go do something. I got to go do something from the Lord. I got to go give money to the poor. Yeah, I got to go make sure that I am loving on folks and complimenting them and being joyful. I mean, I'm joyful. Believe it or not, I am. My face just doesn't show it. The Greek word for bearing is, again, I think of Zach every time I hear this, skero. F-E-R with an apostrophe -O. So, means to carry. The Greek word for fruit, being karpos, is fruit of the vine. Work, act, or deed. Oh, I love this one. Praises, which are presented to God as a thank offering. Those are the definitions of fruit. Fruit of the vine. Work, act, or deed. Praises, which are presented to God as a thank offering. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. I'm going to translate this, and I didn't actually look up the Passion Translation. I felt like mine was good enough, so I'm going to embellish a little bit. But this is how you honor and glorify my Father, by carrying the perfect Father-provided response, fruit, for the nutrition of others, okay, as I did, Jesus did. All fruit points to the Father. It is impossible to have real fruit aside from Him, aside from that connection to the vine. John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. I said it. A lot of times I feel like I got to make things happen, or I have in the past. I really need to go out and do something for the Lord today. I used to call it God points. I got my God points. Anybody else ever hear that? Got my Jesus points today. I used to wear the bracelet, WWJD. Whew, man, I was a Christian. Be driving around in my car, somebody throws me the number one sign. What would Jesus do? He probably wouldn't do it. Okay. Man, that was awesome. I'm just kidding, by the way. Oftentimes felt through my many years, many years of getting it wrong. What I've learned in the church and in discipleship type classes, back in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, there was a big movement of discipling men. What's the name of the thing that happens in Colorado? What is it? Promise Keepers. That was birthed out of that. Fantastic, fantastic ministry, and absolutely worthy. But we started focusing so much on creating clones of ourselves, not clones of Jesus Christ. I was a clone of my mentor, if you will, and I had to act like him, or else I wasn't being a Christian. And it was brought up to me like that. It was, this is how you should be. And I know, folks, that maybe that was a little bit extreme. They gave me good examples, and their hearts were in the right spot. But I think we went too far overboard back then, and it's created something that we need to probably shed at this point. I remember recall going to my first spirit-filled church and feeling the pressure of my previous church, which really disintegrated because of a lot of bad things and lack of fruit and so on. Went to a spirit-filled church, and I had always been taught, well, when we're singing songs and when we're praying, and certainly when there's communion, you better have your head bowed and you better be reverent. You better not be laughing. You better not have your hands up. You better not be doing anything other than looking at your toes. That wasn't exactly said, but that was what everybody was doing. It was the expectation. If you did something different, you looked weird. When I went to the spirit-filled church, now all of a sudden I have my old ways of man-made thinking, and I walk in and people are raising their hands, and I'm going, I raise my hand. That's illegal, isn't it? Are they going to start swinging from the chandeliers? I'd heard that too. I hope so. That'd be cool. Sign me up. I found it a challenge for me to raise my hands during worship. Speaking in tongues, oh my goodness, this has been just like a block for me. I don't speak in tongues, by the way. I don't have any condemnation over that anymore, but I did. I didn't fit, man. I didn't fit with the church. Oh my gosh, does the Lord actually like me? Because I can't speak that language. Oh, it's so tough. I felt that based on what I learned in the church, I have to look a certain way. And those standards have been a point of concern. So much so that it has caused us a whole lot of distraction, a whole lot of wasted years, in my opinion. So I want to dispel all that with just one verse. And I really wish this would have happened about 20 years ago. Make my life a little easier. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully complex translation. Awesomely made. Unique and specially made. Folks, my fruit, it looks different than yours. And yours looks different than mine. Praise Jesus, we're not all the same clones. How boring would that be? How would we reach anybody if we all acted the very same way and said the same things? I've heard so many sermons where the pastor was speaking, and what he was speaking was truth. It was fantastic. But it didn't soak into me for me for whatever reason. And then all of a sudden, somebody that I didn't expect says the very same thing in a different way. Oh my goodness. If we all acted and did the same things and had the same way, the same fruit, there'd only be a limited number of people that actually like that flavor of fruit. It's not for us. That fruit is not for us. It's for others. It's to feed others. So in the last few years, just in thinking about fruit, in the last few years, Jennifer and I have come to we have a little coined phrase that we now say when we are being pressed by the Lord to do something, and or we have it within our being to go out and do something, to do something that is nice or that is generous or that is something that we should be doing, right? The first thing that we say is this good or is this God? Is this good because good glorifies me? Or is it God because it is truly, purely good when it's God and it glorifies the Father? I get some reward out of that. Don't get me wrong. It's not like we have to be beat ourselves up all the time and not feel any great feeling by producing fruit for others. But when it's good, it does glorify us, but if it's God, it is purely good. I only do what I see the Father already doing. If that concept is good enough for Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and grab it too. Did Jesus ever get outside of the Father's plan when he was healing people? Never. He was always connected to the Father. He was always doing what he already saw the Father doing, right? the perfect healing happened to the perfect. Now, there were people that Jesus walked past because it wasn't their time to be healed. The guy at the gate, beautiful, right? The story goes this. He sat there. This is after Christ rose and ascended to heaven. And Peter and John were walking through the gate, beautiful. And this guy that had been sitting there since birth, or since he was young, every single day, that's what the word says, every single day he had sat there. You know how many times Jesus must have walked through that same gate? And that guy was there. It's not because Jesus didn't love him. It's because he was listening to what the Father was saying. Even in preparing this teaching, if you will, I actually fought some of the expectation to do some of the same things that I've seen done before. What would Zach say? What would Austin say? What would Kim say? What would Ben say? What would Jody say? What would Bill Johnson say? Oh my gosh. Talk to my daughter. My daughter says, just throw in a few jokes, don't like it. She didn't actually say that. She did tell me to throw in jokes, so I'm doing my best. It is exhausting, folks. It really is. To produce your own fruit. I was not designed to produce fruit. I was not designed to produce fruit. The vine was in me. My job was to carry it. My job is to carry the perfect fruit that the vine gives me and to steward it properly. To be connected so closely to the vine and to the Father and the Holy Spirit that I know exactly when to give that grape. I know exactly when to give that apple. Apple doesn't grow on a vine, but you get what I'm saying. It'd be cool if apples did grow on vines. Think about that. Just strange thought. The guys that carried back the fruit on the big branches, do you reckon those were about the size of apples? Yeah. That's pretty cool. All right. Sorry, little tangent. I'm going to do this once or twice, my guess is. Being a branch of Jesus means simply this, that we are fruitful. It means that we bear that fruit, full of fruit, but not on our own strength. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Are we confident enough in the Father's perfection that we would lay down our man-made fruit to make room for what He's doing at this moment in time? Taste and see that the Lord is good. We, as branches of Jesus, glorify the Father by providing gifts of fruit that carry the essence of our Father. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is where? From above. So one small shift in thinking that we might consider is realize that this fruit that we bear is not meant for our own personal consumption and nutrition, right? So how can that possibly be the gauge? If I see something and it's good, it was not meant for me. It was meant to give away to somebody else for their nourishment, right? Our food comes directly from the vine, which is fed and tended by the Father. It should absolutely be enjoyed and celebrated. I truly, truly believe that. But only as one celebrates a perfect gift that was given by the Father. If we stand on the fruit that was given and try to replicate that same fruit in our own efforts over and over again, we are not celebrating the giver of the fruit. We are celebrating the fruit itself if we try to replicate it, right? Folks, if we're still celebrating fruit that was grown 2 to 3 years ago, 2 to 3 weeks ago in my estimation, 2 or 3 days ago, I would contend that we're not actually celebrating the fruit. Not actually celebrating the fruit, much less the giver of the fruit, but actually we're celebrating fruit flies. That fruit's old. Yeah, it was nutritious. Absolutely. But it's not meant for today. We just released a song that has been a long time coming. We've had so many words since I've been attending here. We've had so many words that says, we are going to produce songs. We're going to produce sounds. We're going to write songs. There are so many. I don't know how many. Annie, do you have a count on how many words So, folks, I hope you enjoyed that song. That's all we got. We're going to quit there. That's what we do. That's sometimes what we do, right? Oh, look at that fruit. Oh, it's so good. We wrote a song. Prophecy was brightish. Ish. Fruit is always given for His purpose and His glory. It is given for us to steward and not eat. So our food is what? Our food's Jesus. The essence of Jesus is the Father. The essence of the Father is pure love. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And it goes on to say, I never knew you, get away from me. Passion Translation says this in somewhat the same way. Go away from me, you lawless rebels, I never knew you. I've got to be real honest with you. This verse also creates something in me, because I don't have right thinking sometimes. Creates a little bit of fear. Am I connected to the vine or am I not? Absolutely. Where is there fear in the vine? None whatsoever. If there's truly no fruit, folks, then there must be an issue with a connection to the vine. Because Jesus says it specifically, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Not you might, right? The vine is connected directly to the gardener, the Father. And our Father is a good, good Father. He's a pretty good gardener, too. John 15:8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. We glorify the Father by bearing the fruits of His essence and the fruit of His name. Though the fruit we bear is primarily meant to be consumed by others, our Father desires crazy, awesome things for you specifically. And I'm really realizing this more and more. I'm realizing that if God truly desires my life to be abundant, right? Then carrying and stewarding fruit has to be a major component of that abundance. Out of the abundance, what happens? That's what you're going to hear. That's what you're going to see out of my life, is the abundance of what the Lord puts in it. I have come to you that you may have life to its fullest, life abundance. Passion says, everything in abundance, more than you can expect, and life in its fullest, until you overflow with fruit. Our abundance is about the amount of fruit we're able to carry, the amount of fruit that we're able to steward, the overflow of our Father-given nutrition. So if we're not fully connected to the vine, how could we ever expect a shot at life abundant, folks? Impossible, right? The Father's essence is absolutely something that we should strive to continually to carry. I don't think I'm really giving you a whole lot of revelation in that. That's something that's pretty common. We want to steward and we want to produce the Father's essence, right? Connection to that vine is the only way that we can carry the Father's essence. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Remaining in Him is as simple as this. following Jesus' command. He said it several times. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is my command, love each other. Matthew 23:37 and Mark and Luke also, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. There are three commands in that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's one. Love yourself. That's two. Okay? And we're not talking about self-love as we hear it today in society. Not massages, pedicures. I get a pedicure at least once a week. Buying nice things for self. Actually, pedicure is feet, right? Oh, I hate feet. Oh. I can't tell you how much I hate feet, folks. All right, can I tell you one of the most nervous times I've ever had in this church was last year about this time. Okay? An amazing work of the Holy Spirit happened that day. I have never seen anything like it in my entire life, and I've never sweated so much in my entire life. There were about, I would guess, right around 50 feet hanging out, okay, with people touching them. Ooh, all right. You guys warn me before that happens again, will you? Oh, I'll be watching online doing Church of the Serta. All right. I'm just kidding. It was an amazing moment. It truly was something that it broke my heart and encouraged my heart all at the same time. It was awesome. I just had to get past the feet. All right. Love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? How could we possibly love ourselves? Well, it has actually nothing to do with loving ourselves, but actually what the Holy Spirit has activated within us for His purpose. Oh my gosh, look what the Holy Spirit's doing in my life. I want that for you. Oh my gosh. I'm not bragging, but Holy Spirit is doing it. You want some of this, right? Absolutely. If I today filled up a Dodge 30-gallon tank-ish, 32-gallon tank, and I filled it up, and the gas station I filled it up at, instead of paying $180 or whatever, they said, nah, this is free. I mean, it's always free here. You think I'd tell you? Yeah, I would. I'd want you all to take, I mean, I see a lot of Dodges out here, and I know you're paying, right? Amen, 8 miles to the gallon. Woo-hoo. Austin said something last week. I'm kind of shifting gears here. He said, we shouldn't be able to tell where Jesus ends and we begin. Do we have, folks, the same DNA as the vine? Oh, my gosh, yes, we do. I answered that for you. I didn't give you time. Then, folks, here you go. Ready? We carry the very same abilities to provide life to others in the fruit that we carry. There is no difference between us, right, and Jesus when it comes to how we are designed and commissioned. We throw Isaiah 61 up there. Everybody probably knows it by heart, but read it just in case. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to produce or to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve. Our commission is the very same. If our DNA is the same, our commission is the same. If our DNA is the same, our ability is the same. Folks, you are the giver of life. Say that. I am the giver of life. Need to work on it, but that's all right. What are the fruits of the Spirit if not life? What are the fruits of the Spirit if not perfect? Gardener given life and love. I think there's one other shift that in how we look at Jesus in the saying in John. Let me try this again. I think maybe there's one other shift in how we are to look at what Jesus is saying in John. Based on our DNA, we are not just a branch. We have a greater calling. Here's what I mean by that. In the natural, and I realize we're going a little bit long, but I'll close it up here pretty quick. In the natural, when a branch gets big enough, you know what it begins to resemble? The vine. It resembles a vine, in fact, more so than it does a branch. The branch begins to produce other producers. You know that branch? It does not replace Jesus. It replicates Jesus. Zach and Sage, right now, I know they're enjoying themselves. Actually, they're probably watching, so I'm not sure how much they're enjoying themselves, but hey, Zach. Zach and Sage have been in serving in a position for many, many years as apostles. They have been replicants, right, of Jesus. And I'm not saying that none of us, we all, to a certain extent, replicated Jesus, but I just want to kind of hone in on the shift that is occurring right now, both in their lives and in this church body. They are replicants of Jesus, and we are as well. They got commissions, and we are too. They are connected to the vine, and it's not by their power that we're connected, but it's by our power and our devotion to the Lord that we're connected to the vine. Folks, when they come back, I believe things are about to get super interesting. I've already seen it. I've seen just a handful of things that have never happened before. That display last year of washing of feet has never happened in my entire life. I've never seen it. That was pure. That was Lord. That was divine. Get it? Divine. Oh, my gosh. It's almost over, folks. It's almost over. Folks, we're being commissioned at this moment to be first carriers of the Father's essence and then replicants of Jesus. As this shift begins to unfold, I believe it's more and more important and urgent than ever to look intently upon the vine for our nutrients. To not get caught looking at the fruit. Don't get caught looking at it. Absolutely celebrate it. Don't get caught hanging on to it. It's not your fruit. The fruit that we carried may look a whole lot different than what we were expecting or that what was produced in the past. We have to drop that, to push it aside, not say it wasn't great fruit, because it was. Well, there's a new thing. I oftentimes wonder what the Pharisees thought, what everybody else thought in Jesus' day when he was doing all of his miracles in such a way that hadn't been done before. Who spits in another man's eye to make him see again? Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to do things that are just unorthodox because that's what the Father's calling us to do? Let me close now. Jesus' command is simple, that we love how he loves, both by his example and with his heart. We abide. We feed on his nutrition. We carry the weight of his perfection. We carry the weight of our Father's essence. You know, a vine seldom has just one branch producing fruit. They're generally a huge cluster of branches all producing fruit. This cluster tends to help regulate temperature. Such a big cluster, it keeps wind out. Birds potentially out. Collects moisture. It shields the fruit from the day's sunlight that would dry it up. Likewise, church, we need each other. We need the love of each other to steward the fruit that Jesus has grown in each of us. We are stronger, so much stronger as a full plant, not just a couple of really highly producing branches. We are not called to watch Zach and Sage produce. Not called to honor them in that way. We honor them by doing exactly what Jesus has called us to do, which is being disciples of the vine, to produce fruit. Our DNA is the vine. Our fruit carries the vine's DNA as well. We carry life. We carry nutrition. We carry gifts of perfection. Every good and perfect gift does come from above. Our love starts in the body of believers, folks, but it should never, ever end there. That should just be the refreshment, the encouragement that comes with bearing each other's burdens, bearing each other's fruit, propping each other up. Perfect fruit production looks, in my mind's eye, like this. And I'm taking a little liberty here, and we're almost there. We're about 3 minutes away from closing. Story of the talents, or story of bags of money. One person, and this is found in Matthew, 25, I think? Yeah. One person was given one bag of money. One person was given two bags of money. One person was given five bags of money. The person with one buried it. The person with two doubled it up, provided to the master four when he returned. The person with five doubled his up, provided that to the master at 10. Well done, good and faithful servant. I have a strong theory that the Lord's perfect production of fruit means doubling it. I don't believe anything. Let me share with you why. The story could have gone differently. The story could have done something like this. The one with one bag of money, he went out and buried it. He wasn't a very nice guy. The guy with two bags of money, he did better. He produced another bag of money on top of that. So he returned three bags of money. The one with five, he doubled his up. He was a really good one. It's all or nothing with the Lord. Either we're not producing, we're not in his presence, or we are in his presence. There's no in between. The one with two doubled his up. That's perfect production in the Lord's economy. The one with five doubled his up. Folks, we're to double it up not only within our congregation, but out there in the world as well. If it stays here, it was wasted, it fell to the ground, the birds are eating it, and the flies are swarming. Folks, if we're lacking fruit, we might check also the soil around us. Our foundation should always be rooted in the Word. If it isn't, the fruit we bear will be nourished by whatever we are abiding in. And folks, we're abiding in something. We're always, always abiding in something. We're going to have the prayer team come up. Who do we have? Two, three, four. We're going to have the prayer team come up real quick. The activation of the body of Christ has been sounded for 2,000 years, right? I would encourage you to respond today by praying with one of these folks for the capacity to carry fruits in a way that you haven't carried it with in the past. If it seems like you're not bearing fruit at all in a way that's tangible, come to this altar and lay your branch before the Lord. He's going to feel it. He will absolutely feel it. He just needs your loving yes. If you do not have a direct relationship with the vine today, with Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, please don't walk out of that door without praying with one of these folks. It's not these folks' power that's going to save you. It's the power of Jesus Christ that was displayed for all to see on the cross and in the empty grave. You have to ask for that life by asking Jesus to come in and be your vine in your heart. It's as simple as that. Father God, you are good in all things. We just thank you for the fruit that you're going to produce in this body today. We thank you for the fruit that you're going to produce in the world through this body, Father. What you're going to do in Alaska beginning here, Father God, what you're going to do in the rest of the United States, through Alaska, Canada, and in the world, Father God. We anticipate a huge harvest, Father, as you do. Father, we want to be producers, carriers of your fruit. We want to bear much fruit, Father God, so that you are glorified and that you eat of that glory. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Floor is open if you guys want to pray. If not, have a great Sunday.